welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church. Let's stand and sing number 248. Number 248, My Anchor Holds.
The Lord leading you our way, and as we would like to be a blessing to you, we can safely say that you are already a blessing to us. And what we want to do right now, get around, welcome each other, church family, make sure you welcome our visitors this morning.
Fields of
Let's turn to number 185. Number 185. stand again. Number 276. Number 276.
This week is the first anniversary of the Floreses coming on staff. Dan will be coming our youth director. We thought it might be a good idea for him to go to camp last year with the gang, and so yeah. Do you hear me now? Yeah. And I just rejoice in that. We sure appreciated the Grahams before, but we appreciate what God's given us now as well, and the great job they're doing. And I just want you to know, 100%, I support our youth director and what's going on in our youth department. And we got a great gang going to, I hate to use the word gang, we have a great group going to camp this year. And please, as we're going to have you raise your hand, we've got prayer cards here, and I'm going to take one off the top right there for myself. But we've got cards here, and there's at least enough for everybody to get one. So please take one, and then if there's extras, you can get a second one. And every one of these cards has a young person's name on it. And I think is there two for each one, three for each one? Three for each one, and believe me, I'm sure all of them need at least three people praying for them. Is there three in there for my wife? Okay, yeah. So please, let me have Isaac and what's your name? I was wanting to say Ryan for some reason. No, you guys can stay right there. I'm going to give you each half of this stack, and folks, raise your hand. If you're willing to pray for young people this week at camp, Isaac, you go down this side. Hand one, everybody has their hand up. And then as they get to the back, if there's still cards left over, you can put your hand back up, and we'll give you a second card or a third card. We want these kids prayed for, all the young people, the counselors that are going. We're thankful for everybody. It's part of the effort, and they're going to a great camp, Southland Baptist Camp in just south of Shreveport, Louisiana,
And I don't know how many years now our young people have been going there, 6 or 7 maybe at least. And they just want to keep going back there. They enjoy it there. And the folks that run the camp, Brother Mike Herbster, is the director of Southland Camp, and they do it. He and his staff do a tremendous job. Young man, he's young compared to me, but by the name of Brian Sims. He'll be preaching this week, so we covet your prayers for all aspects. Of course, for safety as they make their way to and from, of course. That God be pleased to escort those vans all the way there and all the way back. And for the time there, safety on the grounds, the preaching of the Word of God, that hearts would be tender. Okay, they've still got cards, so raise your hands again. Raise your hands again, and they'll give you another card as they make their way back to the front. There's Dylan in the center back here. There's a couple. And thank you, Dylan. On back down. They still got a few cards in their hands there. We want them all handed out. Amen. Right. Super. And Miss Christina. You got them all handed out, Dylan? All right. Great. There's a couple more down here. Oh. You're going to get one. You'll get two anyway. Amen. All right, they're out. Super. Remember, I put those cards right where I'll see them. And, of course, I'll be holding down the fort at 4909. And I put them where I spend the most time, at the dining room table. And I'll see them every time I sit down to eat. And we'll be praying for the gang at camp. Let's bow and pray for this year's camp. Father, we love you, and I'm so thankful for each one of these young folks that will be going to camp this year. Please, Lord, you know what's on our heart. As we mentioned it a moment ago, we sure pray for safety all the way to the camp and coming home, of course. We pray that the fellowship of our campers would be sweet and precious, unified, Father, as young people from our church will be there for you to speak to them through the teaching, the preaching, the counselors. Pray, Father, for Brother Sams as he preaches. Pray, Father, for Brother Herbster and the staff there at the camp. Pray for our counselors that are going. Lord, that everything, you bring it together for your glory and these young people's good. We're thankful, Father, for a good camp to send our young people to. And we pray that in everything, beginning to end, you be pleased. Deal with hearts, Lord. I'm sure, whether it be from our group or from some of the other churches, there'll be young people there that need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Please, Lord, speak to hearts, lives. Pray that next Sunday night, as we hear our young people give testimonies, we'll hear about the tremendous and beautiful things that you've done in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Daniel.
Well, I can hear you. Well, ma'am, please come forward for this morning's offering. Miss Erna looked like she was a little disappointed because she had her hand out and she didn't get another card. You can pray for me, Miss Erna. It is, as Pastor was saying, it is my first full year as a youth director, and it's been amazing. It's an honor to work with Pastor and all of our staff. But you know, this, thank y'all for the opportunity to give me the opportunity to be your youth director. It's something that I don't hold lightly, any part of the ministry. We're doing our best. But of course, you know, we give the glory to God for everything that happens in our lives, and God gets the glory. This evening we're going to have Shannon I was debating on the last name. I'm just going to call him Limon because that's how you would say it in Spanish. He will be doing a Bible lecture, Missionary Foundation. And it was also, today was promotion Sunday. So we have new faces up here in the youth. And I'm excited to be able to work with them and having them go to camp with us this year. We will also be having a meeting after this service. We will also be handing out the t-shirts. So we need the $10 for the t-shirts. If you don't have the $10, get with me or my wife as we have the meeting. And we need all of our youth to wear the shirt tomorrow for camp pictures, right? We're going to be taking pictures up there when we get to camp. And we need all of the youth wearing the shirt that we got. We're also going to be having ladies ensemble practice today at 4:15. June 10th, ladies brunch at 9:30 at Ginger Brown's. And June 16th, Father's Day. June 18th, ladies fellowship. And June 29th, men's breakfast. Miss Marsha, before I forget, Miss Marsha would also like to thank all of you that gave her cards and brought meals. She wants to say thank you. And Pastor Turner. Pastor Turner, too. And the Hudsons and the Fafawinas and the Shepherds all have new prayer letters out at the front, so please stop by and pick one up to learn about their ministry. Let's pray. Father God, we come before your mighty and holy throne this morning, Father God, and we thank you that we are given that opportunity to come to you whenever. Father, we ask that you be with our pastor this morning as he preaches your word, and I pray, Father God, that you give us ears to hear your word today, Father, and that you speak to our hearts. I pray for those that do not know Jesus Christ this morning, Lord, that they'll come to that place to know him and not leave this building without making him the Savior of their life, of their soul. I ask that we can be that light for our community and that we can reach those that are lost. We thank you for Metropolitan Baptist Church, Father God, and we pray that you continue to use us for your glory, for your honor. We also pray for this morning's offering and pray that you bless it, Lord. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. Amen.
For what earthly reason would the heavenly Father send down his Son to suffer rejection and pay for crimes he had not done? For what earthly reason would the Father let him hang on a tree? I wept with the answer that one earthly reason was me. I was the reason that one earthly reason. I was the guilty. He was the sacrifice. The fairest of angels were not summoned from the throne up in the sky to purchase my pardon. Not even the angels could die. The only provision for my freedom was destined to be the sweet Lamb of glory, and his only reason was me. I was the reason that one. Sacrifice. I was the taker. He was the giver, dying while I go free. That one earthly reason was me. That one earthly reason. That one earthly reason was me.
Amen. Amen indeed. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. We'll be turning this morning. We'll begin in reading in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll also be going to John chapter 3 early on, so you can be mindful of that as well. But I would like us to read in Ephesians chapter 5 as we begin. Please stand together. Reverence to the good word of God. For today, we begin reading in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Such a familiar verse, but as you notice, the end of that verse in your King James Bible, there's no period. In fact, there's no period till you get to the end of verse 21. Read with me as it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Capital S, speaking of the Holy Spirit. But notice it goes on saying, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Lord, we bow before you, asking for your help today. Lord, I stand here with fear and trembling to think for a moment that I might stand before these dear folks in my own strength or my own wisdom. Depend upon you today to take complete, absolute charge of everything that would take place in this hour. Lord, I'm asking you to direct, lead, control every word that would be declared, that we would hear from the God of glory and not from man. Pray for every heart present, man, woman, young person. Lord, please be with us exactly where our need is today. Lord, whatever the situation is, I'm praying that you'd be pleased to minister in and to help. Accomplish your beautiful, perfect will. We'll ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. We'll begin a series on the family a few weeks ago. This subject is very, very dear to me. And realize how desperately we need help in these days. We need God's help if we're going to have families that honor him and our families as he would wish them and want them to be. There's a multitude of ideas concerning what relationships within the family ought to be. Oh my. And of course, the picture of what a true family is. And be mindful. A true family is a biblical family. But of course, that picture of the true family has been distorted beyond recognition. Hollywood, the government education system, and even many of our government leaders are working to create a totally new image of what the family is, or what a family is. And of course, that new image is not only unbiblical, in my estimation at least, it is anti-biblical. Now, we've spent a lot of time and a good bit of our messages dealing with all the negatives that we're facing in these days. And our goal, as much as possible, is to focus on the true picture. To focus and search out what that true biblical description of marriage and the family is. Now, we'll continue to expose false ideas and claims. But that's not going to be our focus. We will focus on what the Bible says and do our best to hold up that picture. And I believe with all my heart that as we focus on what the Bible says, then the false picture will be exposed for what it is, false indeed. And so today we look at the essential, first of all, the essential foundation for the family. The essential foundation for the family. And I guess I was going to kind of skip ahead, but this is where we must begin. We must begin if we want families founded upon the things of God. We must have families that are established upon Jesus Christ. Upon Jesus Christ. The Bible says that an essential foundation for everyone, every single person in this room, and every family is Jesus Christ. Amen. Knowing Jesus Christ is essential. Not a plus, is essential for a successful family. Talking about a family that God can bless. A family that is blessed and know the riches of Christ. Remember, we were designed and created by God. Let me say it a different way. You were not an accident of evolution. No way. In fact, That's just one of the reasons, or maybe back up and say this again. Because you were designed by God, created by God, it's just one of the reasons that we stand firmly against the murder of unborn children. They're designed of God. Human life was designed by God and given by God. Because of that, then, for a human being, is there any of them here today? For a human being to have a fulfilled life, there must be a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way it works. Only way that it works. And if you haven't noticed by now, this series has focused on relationships. Relationships. We'll talk more about that as we go. Man's relationship with God was broken by Grandpa Adam's sin of disobedience in the Garden of Eden. Since that moment of sin, is you with me? Since that moment of sin, every human being born of man has a problem with sin. Has a sin problem. Oh my. The Bible makes it clear. Now you, listen. The Bible makes it clear that good works, religion, or family heritage aren't good enough. Will not do the job to restore that relationship with God. God and God alone can do that. God alone can restore us back to that place of His design for us. His design for us. Yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of woman without, listen, without the agency of man. He came into this world without that sin problem that you and I were born with. He and He alone had the ability to pay my debt. The wages of sin is death. The Lord Jesus Christ came and paid my debt, your debt, so that we could what? Have that relationship with Jesus Christ and His Father restored. He came, died for our sin, died in our place. And you and I, by faith in Him, have that relationship restored. We don't always quote this verse, but John chapter 3, verse 15 says this, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe me on all this? As we look at John chapter 3, we read in verse 18 of John chapter 3, where it says this, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Everyone in this room today that has placed their faith, believeth on Him, Jesus Christ, is not condemned. Not under that condemnation of sin. But, the very next word, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is, he goes on to describe, and this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We live in an evil world. We understand that, the darkness that is all about us. But we notice the condition is faith. Trusting Jesus Christ by faith as my Savior, as your Savior, to be to have that condemnation lifted. We read a similar statement at the end of the chapter in verse 36. Notice there it says, he that believeth on the Son, capital S, the Lord Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life. Have you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You have everlasting life right now. Amen. Hath everlasting life. But again, we see And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Aren't you thankful that God was pleased to give the remedy? Aren't you thankful this morning that by grace through faith, trusting Christ, that we can be restored to that beautiful right relationship with our God? Well, what does that mean to family relationships? That's what our topic is. What's it mean for family relationships? Well, Paul makes it clear back in our passage in Ephesians chapter 5. He makes it clear in Ephesians chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6 that a relationship with Jesus Christ is essential for every member of the family. Stick with me here. Notice in verse 22 of chapter 5, that relationship is essential for the wife. Key words here. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." We see very clearly that relationship with the Lord is essential, first of all, for the wife, but it's also essential for the husband. In verse 25 of that chapter, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." How does a husband love his wife properly? Through his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then that relationship is also essential for a child. And we understand that there's going to come that point in every child's life where they can understand. They have the ability to turn from sin and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we read here in verse 1 of chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents," notice, "in the Lord." They need that relationship with Christ as well. Why? For this is right. But then, we don't want to leave parents out. That relationship with Christ is essential for every parent as well, if they want to be a godly parent. Notice what it says in verse 4. It says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Every member of the family is spoken to concerning their relationship with God. A relationship with the Lord is essential. And Jesus Christ is that common and all-important essential for the family. So the question, before we move on, is Jesus Christ the center of your home? Is your home built on Him? And your relationships focused on Him? Well, I'm going to throw a little bit of a curve here for just a moment. Is just knowing Jesus Christ enough to ensure having a happy and blessed home? You say, where are you getting at with that question? Sounds like a strange question, doesn't it? Is just knowing Jesus Christ enough to ensure having a happy and blessed home? I'm thankful for everyone that professes Christ. That doesn't mean they're living for Christ. Is there not a difference? Knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and living for Jesus Christ with His empowering. Can I say are two different things? We need both, beloved. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. John chapter 8 makes that clear. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God. But that does not automatically mean that you're operating, that you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the strengthening, the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God. And we go back to verse 18, where it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That word filled, and I'm sure you've heard this explained before, That word filled has the idea of being under the control, being under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Every believer needs that. It's an essential in our relationship with God. Be not drunk with wine. Now, I do this all the time, so forgive me, all you that have heard this before. But God wants you to be under the total, absolute control of His Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. Filled means all the way to the top. Under the total control of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care what your tolerance for alcohol is. You drink one beer and you have sacrificed, you have stolen a measure of the control that belongs to the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen. That's right.
And given it to that booze.
Yes, sir.
God wants your total submission. He wants, now listen to me, like it or not, it's just the Bible. God wants to be in total and complete control of your life. That, beloved, is the foundational word, if I can say it that word way, for everything else that we will study in this series on the family. But just very quickly, I want to make one other point before we move on and talk more about this matter of submission. Being saved is essential. Knowing Jesus Christ, living for the Lord Jesus Christ is essential. But we also see, and might I make this statement just because I don't think I get any argument, the Bible is essential. The Bible is essential. Why is the Bible essential? Because it's God's instruction book. It's His instruction book to us. You know, a dear preacher friend of mine, he uses the word Bible as an acrostic. And if I've heard him say this once, I've heard him say it at least a dozen times, probably more. He uses it to describe the Bible as God's basic instruction before leaving earth. It's God's instruction book. For what? For everything.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Huh? Well, I never saw in my Bible say about this or that or this other deal. Folks, you can take the principles that you learn from the Word of God and apply them in every area, every decision, everything that you're doing. Biblical understanding is necessary for a successful family. It's God's. Why? Because it's God's instruction book. And of course, that's what we're doing right now. Every time we gather, whether it's in Sunday school, the morning service, the evening, or Wednesday, we're here to learn from God that we might be better prepared to do what? Live for Him. I need that. Confess, I need it desperately. A biblical understanding is necessary for a successful family. But I'll make another statement and hopefully explain it very quickly and move on. A biblical undergirding is necessary for a successful family. Why do you say that? Well, beloved, just as we have the Holy Spirit, everyone that's saved has the Holy Spirit, but doesn't automatically mean that we're living in the control of the Spirit. Simply having a Bible knowledge does not mean I'm applying the principles and truths of the Bible to my life. Huh? The Bible, God didn't give us this instruction book just to have a head knowledge, but that we would have a knowledge and understanding to be prepared to live for Him. Live for His glory. My. I don't do this very often. I guarantee that if you apply the truth of God's word into every area of your life, including your family, you'll experience the greatest success and blessing. If that were not so, then God's not true. God's not true to his word. But our second point today, we see this foundation that Paul opens up here, this foundation of submission for the family. A foundation of submission for the family. Interesting. We read that passage earlier. I want to do it again. If we could memorize this passage, it would be great. Beginning in verse 18 again, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the next words, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wow. I don't think I'm overstating this, maybe understating. Well, what we deal with here is possibly the most critical aspect for us to understand to have a family that will not just endure, but beautifully endure for Christ. In a biblical family, there exists an atmosphere, if I can say it that way, an atmosphere of mutual submission between each member to every other member of the family. And Paul lays that out in this passage. Earlier, we saw the importance for every member of the family to have that essential relationship with Christ. I think we agree there. When that relationship exists and is operating as God designed it, there'll be this mutual relationship between each member of the family where there's the potential to operate at its best. Again, as individuals, we'll experience that, but also our families will experience God's best. Now, we notice some tremendous things about biblical submission in these verses. Starting with it in that general sense, biblical submission. We want to mention that these truths, first of all, they also apply to the local church. What's it say there again, verse 21? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Goes for every believer. Every member of the local church is what? In submission one to another. Wouldn't it revolutionize local church relationships between what? Brothers and sisters in Christ. But that's not our subject for today. All three of these aspects, or excuse me, there are three aspects of submission incumbent that are born out of this passage. That not only exists in our function, nor function if we're not under that direction of the Holy Spirit. For these aspects to be there, we must be, number one, in submission to God, in submission to His Holy Spirit. But then Paul goes on in verses 19 to 21 to describe this submission. It's beautiful. Describe what this control of the Holy Spirit brings in our lives. First of all, we see that it's a joyful submission. What's he say there in verse 19? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God put a song in your heart. Isn't there some place where we sing there's a new song in my heart? Isn't the Bible say something about that yet? Sure does. Sure does. When we're filled under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, the joy of the Lord will be present. Something's wrong if it's not. It'll be present in a beautiful and wonderful way. It'll make even me want to sing. Huh? I tell you, the young people all the time, I'm one of those folks that don't even sound good in the shower. Oh my. It's one thing to sing, though. And it's a whole different thing to be able to sing, listen, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's a difference, isn't it? A beautiful voice doesn't even guarantee that. Make a joyful noise, the Bible says. Sounds like what King David did. Can you imagine? Can you kind of in your mind picture King David there before he was king? Before he was the mighty warrior that took down Goliath? Picturing David maybe out on the hillside tending those sheep for his father with his lyre in his hand, and as God began even then giving him those songs. He was singing. Of course he'd sing to those sheep, but he was singing, making melody in his heart to the Lord. Oh yeah. Now it's interesting that what Paul says there isn't a command. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spirit. That isn't the command. You know where the command is? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And what's the result of that? Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This submission brings joy to your heart. Brings joy. Indeed, yes. When we're filled, our hearts will melodiously rejoice to the Lord. Apostle then, he says, speaking, listen to those words, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. What did I say? Singing. Sometimes I'm sitting here, standing on the platform, and Brother John or any other song leaders can say, I look out across, and I see folks like this. Huh? Can't get a squeak out of them. Sing! It's interesting. Those words that says words, making melody. It takes me back to what David was doing. The word is the idea of making psalms. What was David doing? He was singing to them sheep. He was singing to the Lord. There should be a song in our heart. I beloved, I just don't understand grumpy Christians. How can you be grumpy with what Jesus did for you? Huh? And besides that, the Bible teaches us that Christ lives in you. Amen. You've been indwelt by His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Surely there ought to be maybe just a holy squeak once in a while. It'll be a joyful submission indeed. But it's also, we see here, a grateful submission. Joyful submission, but also a great. Verse 20 says, giving thanks most of the time for some things. Huh? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? This submission is a grateful submission. Understand that I need to be reminded about this quite often. It's easy for us to get kind of down with things that might not be working out the way that we think they ought to or whatever. And it's important to, hey, it's okay. You've got permission. Preach to yourself once in a while. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will. Not we might. Well, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Huh? Whether the sun's shining or it's raining again, God's still on the throne, beloved. It's a joyful submission. It's a grateful submission. But then we also see here that it's a mutual submission. A mutual submission. What's it say? Submitting yourselves, verse 21, one to another, to each other, in the fear of God. Wow. It's a mutual submission. Well, who does Paul instruct to submit in this verse? He's talking to all of us. Every one of us that know Christ. Every one of us that's saved. He's telling us to submit. We're to submit, as the Bible says, to one another. Now again, where did this sentence begin? All the way back at the beginning of verse 18. It's not separate from each other. That sentence began in verse 18 with that instruction concerning being under the control, the direction, the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me just say it this way. Being in submission to Him, to God. In submission to our God. When we, beloved, are in right relationship with God, then we have the potential to be in right relationship with each other. This is a bad way to say it, forgive me. But you don't stand a chance, or we don't stand a chance, of being in right relationship with each other until we're number one in submission to the Lord. Amen. It's impossible. Maybe that's why there's so many church fusses along the way. Who said that? Huh? A lack of submission to the Holy Spirit of God. The New Testament says a lot about submission. Oh my. It says a lot about submission. Submission is a key element of the Christian life. Did you hear that? Submission is a key element of the Christian life. And I understand this isn't the most popular thing that I could bring up or that we can mention. I know it isn't, but as Christians, we're to be in submission one to another. But it's interesting that the New Testament even takes it beyond that. What? Yes. Oh my. Remember, I didn't make this up, okay? I'm going to read Scripture. A short list of folks that we're to be in submission to. Obviously, as we've already seen, we're to be in submission to God. James chapter 4, verse 7 says simply that. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Okay. Okay. But did you know you're to be in submission to the government? I don't always like to be in submission to the government. Y'all know me. You know what Baptist preachers are like on the freeway. We're to be in submission to the government. Now listen to this carefully, because it can kind of rub us the wrong way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Is that word we don't like? Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. That's man's law. But notice why Peter says this. For the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king and supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Now we understand that, you know, there's no way that I'm going to obey the law of man and break God's law. Those two things, if we understand the supremacy of God's law, God's word. But we also see that wherever it be, I mean, I can get complaining, why is the speed limit 25 here? Why would the government require me to get a dog license? That's an inside joke. We'll leave that one go. Huh? It's an ordinance. Can I obey that without big grief? Well, enough there. We also see, thirdly, that we're to be in submission to pastoral leadership of all things. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they, and this is what tells us who he's talking about, they watch for your souls, as they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable to you. There is such a thing as pastoral leadership. But then, fourthly, to our elders. This white hair has got to get you something. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, listen, Peter's going to echo Paul. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. That mutual submission. And be clothed with humility. That'll help us a long way with this submission thing. Humility. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. What is our biggest problem with trying or learning submission? Paul, Peter just told us. Pride. Pride. Oh, yeah. It's, by the way, every one of us have that problem. But then finally, we see that we're to submit to each other, as we've seen in a couple places. We're to submit to each other, and as we'll see as we go along in our series of messages on the family, we're to submit in our relationships within the home. And we'll see how that comes together. Again, our verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Again, speaking to that humility, doesn't it? The fear of God. Bringing ourselves down. And exalting Christ. Exalting Christ. Well, beloved, this is, you might think it's been a lot more. This is only our third message in this series on the family. Hopefully, it's becoming obvious by now that we're focusing on relationships. Relationships. It's not simply a clever choice or theme for this series of messages. Hopefully we understand and acknowledge, recognize that God focuses on relationships. Primary, number one focus is our relationship with Him. To know the Lord Jesus Christ. First and primary is our relationship to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. When that relationship is right, then from that relationship, we can go on to build those right relationships with each other. I know I've mentioned this before, so again, please forgive me. Marcia and I, when we were saved, I know it was March 11th, 47 years ago. What year was that? 1972? So, yeah. I loved her. We weren't saved. I loved her. By the way, I still love her. But the thing is, I love her differently these last 44 years than I did those first few years. Without Christ, it's a love that is of the flesh at best, of the man's ability. But when we got saved, God stepped that up in such a beautiful, beautiful way. In other words, we grow in Christ and in that relationship with Him and come to understand more and more about His love for us and how He enables us to love each other as He loved us. Oh my, it takes everything. It takes everything beyond anything this world can even begin to understand. Whether they admit it or not, I believe they're jealous of that love that the believer has. The believers have for each other and the potential of believers within a family. Yes. You know, there's a lot of how-to books out there. Every week, what's it say? The writing of books, there is no end? That's for sure. All kinds of how-to books. But you know, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. Having a list of do's and don'ts and being able to check the boxes doesn't mean you've got a good family. Doesn't mean you have a family that is blessed of God. But God has given us a divine instruction book. And not to check off the boxes, but to bring ourselves into assimilation and submission to what this book says makes the difference. Here we find the ability through Christ, through the Holy Spirit of God, to have homes that are blessed. I don't know where Jim Turner or his beautiful wife would be today if it wouldn't have been for the change that Jesus Christ made in us all those years ago. How about you? He made the difference. He is the difference. And I urge you, if you're saved, hallelujah. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God. If you're here today and you're not saved, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. As we read earlier from John chapter 3, it says, whosoever believeth in Him shall have everlasting life. Commend them to you. What a difference. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before you and we thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for working in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, I do pray for every one of us present here today, for every believer, every Christian, that you'd enter in by your Spirit. Help us, Father, to live for your glory, for your honor. But Lord, I also pray for every family. Christ would be the center of our homes. He would rule, He would direct in everything that is done and goes on. I also pray, Lord, for anyone that may be within these walls today that isn't saved, don't know where they would spend eternity when they leave this life. Lord, I pray for them. Lord, I know that you're a great God, a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Commend those ones to you right now. Pray that you'd make real to them their need of Christ. Make real to them, Father, that you sent your Son to die for them. Father, grant to them that faith to believe even now that Jesus died for them. We love you, Lord. Thank you ever so much for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John.
Page 157.
Amen. As we sing, as always, beloved, these altars are open. Whatever the need might be, you want to just come pray for your family. You want to pray for whatever might be going on in your life. They're open. If you're here today and you realize you need Jesus Christ, need Him in your life, we're here for you. Oh my, to be our great joy, our delight, to be able to take you aside and show you what Jesus did for you. Pay the price of your sin. Give you that right relationship with Him. Amen. Let's sing.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Prayers as we prepare these messages. I've preached on the family so many times, but I really felt a bit burdened to go back and just restudy all these things and ask God to give me fresh and new messages for our church family. I'm so burdened for families in these days. We need God so bad. In our homes, we want to see victory. Please, please pray for these young people. Of course, as they go to camp, they're going to have their meeting, parents and young people. But please, looking for God to do tremendous things in their lives this week. Amen.
Worse, it's bring them in. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in.